Good morning. Do you know who I am? No? My name is Brian Kelly. I've been gone since last year sometime. But it's good to be back. If you have a Bible, you can turn to 1 John. Have you had a good time studying 1 John with Pastor Josh? Yeah, let's give a mighty hand clap for him. Here he is. Yes. Clap for yourself. Actually, since I've been gone, I've been getting emails from many of you saying Josh is doing an excellent job. But no one said, usually people say Josh is doing such a good job, we don't need you anymore. But nobody said that, so I decided to come back. But I just really thank him for that. So I'm excited now to get back to preaching. So we're going to be in 1 John chapter 3, studying from verse 10 to verse 24. Let's pray together again. Father, we just thank you so much for your love, your love that motivates us to love. Help us, Lord, to hear, to understand the things that you've written in your word. The entrance of your word brings light. It helps us to see, helps us to live. And so please help us this morning by your Holy Spirit and through your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we're going to be talking about love. Not so much God's love for us, of course that's most important, but the love that we should have for one another. And as you've been studying in the book of 1 John with Pastor Josh, you've known that there are two major divisions of the book. The first is about life and living, the life that we have in God through Jesus Christ. But the second portion of the book is all about love, and you can see it on our sign here, the truth about living and loving. And I think it's appropriate this morning as we come to chapter 3, verse 10, it is a transition in the book from talking about living to talking primarily about loving. And so just as the preachers have changed from Pastor Josh to myself, also some of the topic matter has changed from living to loving, and this morning we're going to start it off with the truth about loving other people, just like God has loved us. I'll begin here in verse 10, and let me read the entire passage. It says, "In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was a wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave us commandment. Now he who keeps his commandment abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given to us." In these verses, the obvious subject of them is love. And if you go through, you can count the many times that the word love is used. And this is talking about our love for each other, that we must love one another as Christians. There was some research done. A group of professional people posted this question to a group of 4 to 8 year old children. The children ranged between 4 years old and 8 years old. The question was this: what does love mean? And you would be surprised at the answers they got. They were broader and deeper than anyone could have imagined. Let's see what you think. I have a couple of them written down here. Some of them are funny, but some of them are really good. And just listen, this is children from age 4 to age 8 questioned by these professional people. Rebecca, aged 8, says to the question of what does love mean, she says, when my grandmother got arthritis, she couldn't bend over and paint her toenails anymore, so my grandfather does it for her all the time, even when his hands got arthritis too. Billy, aged 4, said, when someone loves you, the way they say your name is different. He said, you know that your name is safe in their mouth. That's when someone loves you. Isn't that true? Carl, age 5, says, love is when a girl puts on perfume and a boy puts on shaving cologne and they go out and smell each other. That was actually from Kinney, but I didn't want to embarrass him. Chrissy, age 6, says, love is when you go out to eat and give someone most of your chips without making them give you any of theirs. Terry, age 4, said, love is what makes you smile when you get tired, or when you're tired. Okay, I'm going to skip a few of these here for lack of time. Okay, Noel, age 7, says, love is when you tell a guy you like his shirt, and then he wears it every day. Tommy, age 6, said, love is like a little old woman and a little old man who are still friends even after they've known each other so well. Lauren, age 4, said, I know my older sister loves me because she gives me all of her old clothes and has to go out and buy new ones. Karen, age 7, says, when you love somebody, your eyelashes go up and down and little stars come out of you. Okay, one more. Jessica, age 8, she said, you really shouldn't say I love you unless you mean it. But if you mean it, you should say it a lot because people forget. I think this morning we need to say I love you a lot more than we do, don't we? And God says I love you so much to us. The point of this morning's sermon is we ought to love one another in the same way that he loves us. So back to 1 John chapter 3. Children. Maybe that's why Jesus said you must become like a little child to enter the kingdom. I want to point out a couple of things in our passage to make it simple and easy to remember for us. The first point, if you're taking notes, you can write this down, is that love is proof that you have life. As we're going from the transition from living to loving, we need to make this point very clear. Love is proof that you have life. That is eternal life. God's life, a relationship with God, abundant life. Love is proof of that life. There in verse 10, it says, in this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. So if true life is found in God, in Jesus Christ, you know the Bible says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus said, I have come to give them, or that they might have life, and then they might have it more abundantly. So if life is found in God and belonging to God, here it is saying that you do not belong to God. Two things: whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. We're talking about brother, that's brethren, brothers and sisters in the Lord especially. And so love is proof that you have life, seen here starting in verse 10. It's not just about practicing righteousness, and I think this is a misunderstanding among Christians. A lot of people think that to have eternal life or to belong to God, you simply have to do good deeds or practice righteousness. And we can substitute that word righteousness for the word rightness, just doing the right thing and saying the right thing and doing good deeds. And those things are important, of course, but not as important as love is. And so to be a Christian, it's so much more than going to church and doing the right thing and making good decisions in life. To be a true Christian, it is the call to love one another. And if we don't have love, the Bible says very clearly again and again, we do not belong to God. So let's get that straight. It doesn't matter how much you go to church or how many good deeds you have if you don't have love. You know the verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. I'm sorry, 2 to 3. It says, "And though I have the gift of prophecy," pretty good, "and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith," isn't that what we want, men and women of God, all faith? "And though we have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor and give my body to be burned, but I do not have love, it profits me nothing." So all of the righteous deeds we do, practicing righteousness, means nothing without the love that we should have for one another. Amen? It's love that we need. It's not just loving others in general. What we're talking about here is loving other believers. You know that God calls us to love the world, don't you? For God so loved the world, and he wants us to be like him, just people in the world, anybody. God even wants us to love our enemies, doesn't he? "I say to you, love your enemies and do good to those who mistreat you." That's what Jesus said. But here we're talking about something that should be simpler, and that is to love the brethren, to love other Christians. Because if you can't love your brother or your sister in the Lord, how are you going to love your enemy or the world? And that's what it's being spoken of right here in our passage. It talks about Cain as an example of what not to be. You read that in verse 12. Not as Cain, who was a wicked one. He murdered his brother. And because his deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. And then it says, "Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you." So here in these verses, it is making a distinction, a difference between Christians and the rest of the world. I think you know this already. I don't really have to preach about it. We should be different from the rest of the world. And this is the one way in which we should be different. That is, we love. They will know that you are my disciples by the love that you have for one another. And the difference is seen right here. Do not marvel if the world hates and hates you. Doesn't the world hate? You see, look around, you read the news, you just live, experience life, and you discover there's a lot of hate in this world. A lot of people that are angry at others, hateful toward others. Do not marvel if the world hates. That's the nature of the world. That's the nature of people like Cain. But when it comes to us, we should be different. I read a story of the heavyweight former boxer Mike Tyson. Have you ever heard of him before? Mike Tyson. He went to prison for rape. When he ended his prison sentence for rape, he said these words, and I'm quoting him. He says, "I hate everybody." He said, "I know they say, now you can't hate the world, don't be bitter, but I just hate everybody." That's what he said. And I think that's the attitude of many people in our world today. And people are looking for something different. They're looking for people who are going to love and are going to be kind and are going to embrace them and help them to change. And that should be us. And guess where it starts? It starts right here. It starts right with us, loving each other. And maybe you came here this morning and you don't like one of your Christian brothers or sisters. Huh? Let's be honest. We've all experienced that. The Bible is talking to you right here. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 to 22, "You have heard that it was said of old, 'You shall not murder.'" Obviously, we know that. "And whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say," Jesus said, "that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment." God takes it one step further. He's saying it's not the act of murder that I care about. It's the attitude of the heart. And if you're angry with someone, one of your brothers and sisters in the Lord, that's the same to me as murder, God says. It's just like Cain. We need to change our heart. One lady said that you can safely assume you've created God in your own image when it turns out that God hates all the same people you do. Isn't that true? When you're angry at someone, you pray for them. "Oh God, I pray for that person. Strike them dead. You know, Lord, how terrible they are." God loves them. 3 weeks after her wedding day, a lady named Joanna called her minister. This is a joke, by the way, so you can prepare yourself. She called the minister and she said, "Reverend John and I," that's her husband, "we had our first fight together." She said, "What am I going to do?" He said, "Calm down. It's not half as bad as you think. Every marriage has to have its first fight. In fact, you'll have many more fights throughout your marriage." I know," said Joanne, "but what am I going to do about his body?" All right, think about that one for a while. I missed you guys. First John chapter 4, verse 20 and 21. If someone says, you can actually turn over and read that. I told a joke at a church I was preaching at in Southern California in the city of La Habra, Calvary Chapel La Habra. There are probably like 600 or 700 people there on a weekday service. And I was in there. They had a green room, a back room, and some of the other pastors were there. And they remembered me from last time, and they're like, "Just don't tell any jokes, okay? Because nobody laughs at your jokes." They said, "If you tell a joke, we have a special recording for you of a cricket chirping. So when no one laughs, they click that, and you can just hear the cricket chirping." I said, "Okay." 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 and 21. If someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he's a liar. Can we all say, "I love God" together? I love God. Yeah, we can say that. I love God. But if you hate your brother, if you have hatred towards someone who also loves God, the Bible says that we're liars. He who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also, must love his brother or sister, the brethren, also. And so, the first thing we see in our passage here today is that love is proof that you have life. If you don't love one another, you don't really belong to God, and you don't really have life. But there's another point I want to make from this passage, beginning in verse 16. And that is, good works, or works of love, are proof that you have love. So if we've seen that love is proof that you have life, here we're going to see that the good works are proof that you have love, the things that you do. It's not good enough just to say I love you if you're not willing to do I love you. Are you following me? And that's exactly what it says here, beginning in verse 16. By this we know love. We have proof of it. By this we know love, because he, that's God, he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, verse 18 is important. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. You see what it's saying here? It's saying basically in a simple sentence, actions speak louder than words, right? Actions speak louder than words. And it starts with God in verse 16. God didn't just say, I love you. He said that. He says, I love you, didn't he? But he didn't stop at saying it. He actually did something to demonstrate his love toward us. In fact, the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verses 8 through 9, that God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. I read a story of a medieval monk. He announced to his congregation that he would be preaching the next Sunday on the love of God. Well, the next Sunday came and it was evening and the shadows fell and it became dark. There was no light in the cathedral. The congregation gathered. In the darkness of the altar, the monk lit a single candle and carried it to a crucifix that was on the back wall. First of all, he illuminated the crown of thorns that was on Jesus' head. Then next, the two wounded hands from the nails. And then finally, the marks of the spear wound on his side. The hush fell on the place. He blew out the candle and left the church. There was nothing more that he needed to say. That's how we know the love of God. by looking at the cross of Jesus Christ. If you ever doubt God's love, and we do, don't we? Haven't you ever doubted that God loves you, especially when things are not going so well? Things are going bad. Things are going terrible. It's easy to doubt God's love. And whenever you start to doubt, just look at the cross of Jesus Christ. There can be no more doubt when you see what God has done to prove his love for you. And it says, while you were still a sinner, at the depth of your depravity, at the depth of your condition, maybe you haven't reached that depth yet. Maybe that's still in the future. But at that point, God says, I love you and I'm willing to send my son to die for you. This type of love is sacrificial. It's sacrificial. And when God is saying love one another, he's not just saying, say I love you. He says, do I love you? Make an act of sacrifice. True love costs us something. It may cost our time, our effort, our money. It may cost us being humiliated. When you stick up for a friend that's being mistreated, you might get mistreated. It might mean you go unnoticed. It might mean that you get no love in return. It doesn't matter. That's the kind of love that we need to have. Amy Carmichael, a great missionary woman, said that one can give without loving, but one cannot love without giving. One can give without loving, but one cannot love without giving. True love is sacrificial. True love costs us something. And it may be difficult. It may be very hard to love your brothers and sisters. Isn't it true that some people are easier to love than others? Yeah, and some are really hard to love. We need to love them all, especially the fellow believers. It says in verse 17, and you really don't even need to talk about this verse. It's pretty clear. If you have this world's goods, you see your brother in need, and you shut up your heart from him, how does the love of God abide in you? And that's pretty clear, isn't it? If one of your brothers and sisters has a true need, you should do what you can, the best of your abilities, to help them out. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27 says, do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power to help them. There was once a church, a true story. It was on a busy highway, and many people stopped to ask for money from the people that left the church. The minister said that he would help each and every person. The pastor of this church said, I help each and every person. He said some he helped by giving them what they asked for, and some he helped by refusing to give them what they asked for. You see, this verse isn't talking about just giving without thinking. It's talking about helping people who are in need, and sometimes that means not giving them what they ask for, but giving them something that will really help, or leading them somewhere that will really help them, and that's the wisdom that God can give us. The point being, God wants us to love one another, and if we can, to help one another. Sometimes you can't. Sometimes it's not possible. But if you can, you should. And this will bring great assurance. We finish up the chapter with verses 19 to verse 24. And I've said good works are proof that you have love. That means the works of love that you do are proof that you have genuine love. Not just saying it, but doing it. And by doing love, we can have great assurance that we belong to God. Listen to what it says in verse 19. It says, by this we know that we are of the truth. I like that. Verse 16, it said the same thing. By this we know. By this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. And what verse 19 is saying is this. It's saying, if you're a loving person, if you do acts of love, if you make sacrifices for other people, that will greatly encourage your heart and let you know that, yes, you belong to God. You belong to God. If you're feeling discouraged, if you feel like you're not really a Christian, why don't you go out and try being kind to people, being nice to people, making sacrifices for people, doing things that cost you something. By this you know that you are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. But if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows all things. If our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. What is this saying? And I'm almost done here. This is a good piece of assurance that I want you to have today. What this is saying is that no matter how you feel about your relationship with God, and sometimes we feel, maybe I'm not even a Christian. Maybe I'm not even saved. Have you ever felt that way before? Well, it's saying if you're a loving person, you can assure your hearts. But even if you are loving, and even if you do belong to God and you don't feel like you do, it doesn't matter, because God is greater than our hearts and he knows all things. He knows that you belong to him. Even if you feel like you do or you don't, he's saying, you're my child, and nothing will ever change that. Isn't that wonderful? And so I like it when I feel like I belong to God, but whether I feel like it or not, I always do, because God knows. God knows me. He knows my name. You sang that song, didn't you? He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He cares about us. He's called us his children, and that's the encouragement that we can have, the assurance that we can have. In verse 22, we can ask from him. He's our Father. In verse 23, this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Listen, this message is pretty simple, isn't it? It's summarized right here in verse 23. What does God want from me? What does God ask from me? Verse 23 says, this is his commandment, that you should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. Isn't that easy to remember? So if someone asks you, what did you learn at Calvary Chapel Kampala? What did you learn from that fat white guy or fatter? You know, someone said to me, you only had a few burgers while you were there. You're okay. You just look healthy. Thank you. If someone asks you, what did you learn from that guy? Here's what you can say. I should believe in Jesus and I should love other people. Isn't it simple? Isn't it simple? That's what God wants us to do. Believe in Jesus, trust in him, and love one another. It could not be easier. I think so many times we stray away from the simplicity that is in Christ. And so today as we close, that's the message. Love. Love one another. Sometimes it's hard to love people. Sometimes it's hard to love those who have offended you, have talked badly about you. Let's just love. And that's what God wants us to do. That's what God has commanded us to do. And we believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. Let's stand together and pray. Lord, thank you that you are the source of love. We are able to love because you first loved us. And so we look to you. Your word said today that you've given us the Holy Spirit. In our hearts, we abide in you. We trust in you. And so, Lord, we pray that the fruit of that would be love toward one another. Help us to love. It's impossible without you. And so we want to do that. We want to love you. We want to be a loving church. We want to be a loving families. We want to be loving individuals. Help us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.